Welcome back to In Your Corner, a podcast by Men's Fight Club specifically for men. We will be covering subjects weekly to address things that men do, things that men shouldn't do, and things that men should aspire to do. All this is designed to encourage men to want to become better fathers, better husbands, better brothers, better sons, and ultimately the leader that they were designed to be. We will bring in special guests to shed light from experience as they speak from wisdom on an unscripted format. So let's hear from the men in your corner. Let's go.
All right. Good morning, men. Thank you so much for tuning in today on Men's Fight Club In Your Corner podcast. Today we have a great lesson that we're going to talk about, a good subject. Man, I got an amazing man of God here with me today, somebody I look up to greatly. I'm Will Grosskopf, the founder of Men's Fight Club, and today's podcast is very special. I have with me what I would consider a spiritual grandfather in my life. He is one of my mentors and my spiritual father's father-in-law, which is great. He's also the apostle at our church, and he's the founder of the Living Faith Global Network. So today I have with me Dr. Dale Yurton. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Yes, today it's really good because I live my life following great men. I live my life following guys aspiring to be like them. And, you know, I cannot actually be them, but I could pick up on traits that I really, really want to have, because ultimately I would like to live my life in a manner that is worth remembering.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So today, the podcast subject we got is leaving a legacy. And Dale, you've done a wonderful job in your life about building all the way up to where you're at right now, a great following, because you live a life worth imitating. And I think that's very honorable. I think people admire you for that. But we know that you live for a greater purpose and that you're following somebody greater as well.
That's exactly right.
So I really wanted you to be able to chime in on what it's like to leave a legacy and why we should aspire to do so.
That's a great subject, and I thank you for the privilege to be able to share these thoughts with you. I can remember I was just a young Christian. I was very sincere and really trying to follow after Christ, but I had become disillusioned by watching a lot of Christians, the way that they lived. I was just in my mid-teens, late teens, and finally somebody challenged me one day, said, go back and read the Gospels and pay close attention to what it says about Jesus, how he lived, how he walked, how he interacted with people. Just study the life of Christ. Look at him. And I did. And for the first time in my life, I found somebody I wanted to be like him. Now, of course, I'm not him, and I failed in so many ways, but that was a life-changing time for me. It changed my whole paradigm of thinking, making Christ the object of my attention, affection, my pursuit. I wanted to be like him. I adapted that phrase long before it became popular. What would Jesus do? And I intentionally, deliberately try to, in every situation, how would Jesus handle this? What would Jesus say? And of course, I'm the first to confess I missed it so many times, but I was trying. And that, I believe, is what it means. For if you're going to leave a life, a legacy, it depends on who you're following. Who is your example? Who is your mentor? What is your goal in life? And so that has basically been my whole concept of what Christianity is how much can Jesus be Jesus in me? And I've lived by that thought.
That's right, man. I think that's amazing. I definitely think it's amazing. And I could see that in your life. And I could see it, you know, you talk about Dr. Charles Green and and how he was a great mentor and valuable in your life. And and I actually got to meet him, and I actually got to hear him speak, and I could see exactly how he fit that role model in your life.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And so we can't see Jesus, and we can't really feel Jesus. We can't really touch Jesus. But we really can, because we could see him in others.
That's right.
And so as long as we could see them in others, those are the people we should aspire to be more like, without having to just do it. And instead of trying to, you know, I can never preach like you. But my mannerisms could be like yours.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of traits about you that I put in my life. One thing I like is my wife, she's a great judge of character. And the first thing she does is looks how ministers treat their wives and treat their kids.
Yeah.
Because that's the real gauge of who they really are.
True.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Really true.
And so my wife, the very first time, she said, I love how Mr. Dale treats Miss Evelyn. And I love how well he talks about his children. And that's so good. And so a real legacy is those you leave behind.
Yes.
And then how they talk about you. You know what I'm saying? And when you got all these spiritual sons and you got some major spiritual giants in my life that are under you. And when I look at the character that they have, when I look at the way that they live and they have modeled yes. their life after what they've seen in you, as well as knowing the character of Jesus. And yes. I think that's very important. Just real quick, I know one time I was at a Voice of Faith in Crofton, you know that church, and I remember I was sitting there listening to Pastor Alan Hopper speak, and an amazing man of God, did a great message. And at the end of the message, you know, how we do, we'll go up to shake the pastor's hand and tell him good job. And just before I got up there to shake his hand, this little boy, probably about 5-6 years old, he jumps in line in front of me, which kind of made me mad, but at the same time, I was like, this is great, you know. And that little boy looked at Pastor Alan, and he said, man, that was a great word, Pastor. And, of course, Pastor Alan, just this great guy, you know, he just ruffles his head a little bit. And he said, man, I appreciate that, little buddy. And he said, "That I appreciate that." And the little boy said, you know what, Pastor, when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Wow.
And that rocked our world. And, of course, you know, Pastor Alan was a great guy. He said, buddy, why don't you shoot a little higher? Just go ahead and learn to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
But that kid destroyed us with one sentence.
Sure.
He said, buddy, I don't see Jesus. I only see you.
Yes. And that's true.
Yes.
It's very true. I've always considered in preaching, and you know, that's what I do, preaching and teaching. But the two greatest compliments I think that you can receive in life is from someone that is your elder. They're older than you, 20 years or so. They've heard 1,000 sermons. And when they come up and they say, that was a good message, that really means something because they've heard a lot. Or a little child, like you mentioned, the little boy, because they are so unpretentious. What you see is what you get. And they just, wow, that was a good message. They mean that. They're not, you know, campaigning for something or trying to win brownie points. They're just speaking from the purity of their heart. So I understand why the pastor responded like that. Because that is a very special compliment.
It is. And it's one we can't take lightly.
No.
You know, we have no idea who's really watching us
That's
or who's following us. And, you know, and I know as teachers, because you have a role in the kingdom as a teacher as well, we're accountable for the things that we teach. We're accountable for our actions. And actually, the Bible says we're doubly accountable. That should scare us.
Oh,
that
should
scare us.
It should.
Because it should scare us, not just in our actions, but it should scare us to really consider who it is we're actually following.
There's a couple of things I think if on leaving a legacy. Number one, you should always be watching, watching your audience, watching who's listening, because they're all around us and they're continually there, but they're paying as much attention to our body language, the way we say things, and like you said, the way you treat your family. I did that for so many years. I still do. If I'm traveling somewhere and there's a speaker that's speaking that I don't know the person personally, I watch how is his wife responding? Is she taking notes? Is she paying attention? She knows him a lot better than I do. And so I think it's very important that we're always watching around us. But the second thing is we should be aware that they are watching too.
That's right.
They're constantly observing not just what we did, but the way that we did it. And this is where we miss it so many times. You can be accurate in your information, but you can be terrible in your attitude.
That's right.
In the spirit that you do things. And that's what people remember. It's those little things. It's the spirit, the way that you handle that. Did you smile at the person when you were talking to them? When you were disciplining or correcting, did you show love? Were you gracious? So we should be aware. Not only should we be watching, but be aware that they are watching as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, that right there is very, very important. Because as a leader, you're trying to make an expression of how to lead. And you're trying to make sure that you communicate that well, not just through words,
yes,
but through actions and mannerism. And I think that's very, very important because, you know, like this, if I'm wanting to leave a legacy, I want people to be able to say, man, that guy spoke the truth. I want people to say, man, you know, he really knew what he was talking about. But I don't want them to say, man, he was a hard man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the mannerism in which I communicate truth has to have a balance with love in there. I have to. It's not just stoic. You don't have to be just stoic, you know, so stern that you can't pull it off. But you got to show that you have a character that's like that's loving, that a manner that, hey, I'm willing to teach you.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's what Jesus did. Jesus, there were some of the things he said that were very pointed. They were the type of words of discipline, of correction, but you never got through hearing him correct someone that you still didn't know he loved them.
That's right.
I can remember a gentleman that was a part of the church I pastored, and there was so many times we had disagreements, and he would have difference of opinion. And I remember he called me several years after we were gone from that state and that church, and I was traveling the world. He called me one day, and he just crying. I never heard the man cry, but he's just crying and crying. And he said, Pastor, I know that we had our differences. Well, that was a very gentlemanly way of saying, you know, we disagreed on quite a few things.
Yes.
But he said, I know we had our differences. But then he said, but I never doubted one moment that you didn't love me.
That's huge.
And then he starts just sobbing, and he's talking about someone else, and he says, they don't love me. And, you know, I had to admit that's really true. They don't love you. But he was able to observe the difference. And I think this is one of the things that people remember. It's not just how good a message you preached or good a job you did, but it's the way you did it, the spirit, the attitude that you had in doing it. I've seen some people that they were right, but they still were very offensive. And I don't want to be that way. I do not believe that is leaving a proper legacy.
That's right. That's right. So when we were talking about that, what is it that you could say in your personal life was the single motive or you know, a collective of motives that made you want to live a life worth imitating?
Well, it was primarily that defining moment when someone challenged me to take a very close look at Jesus. And like I said, for the first time in my life, I found somebody that was my hero. I want to be just like him, and I want to model my life after that. Now, the truth is, we are all following somebody.
That's right.
We didn't get here by ourselves.
That's right.
We've had a lot of help, a lot of influence, both good and bad, upon our lives. That's who we are. That's what makes us up, the unique individual that we are. But this is where your power of choice, the ability to choose, what do I want to be like? It's not just who I am, but who can I become? What needs to change in my life? You get to make that choice. And as I said, everybody is following somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So look around and find somebody that is where you would like to be. They have accomplished things you would like to accomplish. They're doing things you would like to do. And I'm not saying that you should be that person. You can never be them, but we can all learn from each other. So choose, make this an intentional decision. Choose who you're listening to. Choose who you're following. Watch the way that they do and imitate them. There's nothing wrong with that. The Apostle Paul said, challenging his disciples, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
That's right.
That's basically what it's all about. And so we get to make that choice. I made the choice following Jesus, and then I've looked for ministers, like you mentioned, Dr. Charles Green. What an influence the man had on my life, and it changed my life forever. So that's what where we get to make the choice. Choose carefully, because you will become like the people that you follow.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's really important to look at that aspect, because, you know, you ever notice, like, if you have a blended family, you got a father that's sure. that's the stepdad.
Yes.
He has an influence on their life, and you'll see that even though they're not his natural children, they will tend to start looking, acting, and walking like them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And that's no different than our circle of friends.
Very true.
You know, and so that's why I believe, you know, if we're going to be guilty by association, be in the right crowd.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because you will imitate them. And I notice this especially in teenagers and young kids. Let's say you got some your daughters, for example, have a friend that has a strong personality.
Right.
Well, if in about 2 or 3 weeks that you don't see that other person picking up on your daughter's habits, your daughter will pick up on theirs.
That's the truth.
You know what I'm saying? We had a teen group that we worked with for a while. It had a bunch of kids in it. And we had all kinds of kids from different walks of life, different neighborhoods and all that stuff. And it was great. It was a great blended group. But they're all teenagers. They're all impressionable. And then we had some leaders there. And I remember we had this one particular young lady come in, and she had a major confusion about her life, you know, a major confusion. She had an identity crisis, so to say the least. And I remember talking to the leaders, and I said, hey, we need to be aware of this. We need to make sure we have caution here, because one, she has to be ministered to, and then two, we got to make sure that our influence is greater than hers.
It's good.
And I remember that leader at the time, she said, no, we just need to love on them. I said, well, we do. We need to love on them through ministering to her. We need to love on her through monitoring what she does. True. And I told her, I said, if we don't, then what will happen is you've got 25 other girls that if they can't influence that one, know this, that one is going to influence them.
Exactly.
And because that leadership did not want to step in and guide and lead that young girl, she ended up influencing the rest.
Sure.
And it almost destroyed that ministry.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's very important that we monitor that. You know, like when we're saying following the example, when you just said about Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. I will not follow somebody that's not following somebody greater than them.
That's right.
You know, if he's a lone wolf, he ain't worth following. Simple as that. You know, because then he has his own agenda he's putting on you.
I thank God that he helped me, because as a sincere teenage Christian believer trying to follow Jesus, God helped me make some good decisions. I look back on, I realize it saved me a lot of grief. For instance, I had friends in high school, and one day the teacher sent us to a store to pick up something. We were like seniors in high school or such, and we were riding with this one boy had a car, and so we're riding with him. There's four of us, and when we come back out of the store into the car and are going back, they start pulling out of their pockets things that they have stolen. Mm. I didn't know they were shoplifting, but you think the police would have believed that story? No, I would have been guilty by association.
Yes.
And so I realize there's some things I can't control. I can't control what they do or don't do, but I can control whom I'm with. I can control what environment I'm going to be in. So I said, and I made the deliberate decision, I will never be in this boy's car again.
Yes.
And I wasn't, not one time, even though we were classmates and, you know, we're friends as far as being friends, as far as association, but because we're in the same class. But I never got in his car again, because I knew he's going to lead you into trouble.
Yes.
Now, that's where the power of choice is. You can't make everybody what you want them to be. You can't change the environment to be everything you want it to be. But you can start making choices, things that you do have control over. I don't have control over the classroom, but I have a control over whose car I get in.
That's right.
And so I made that decision. It was a wise decision and no doubt saved me a lot of problems in my high school days.
Yes. And I think that's another thing, like you're saying, that you knew the situation, so therefore you had to develop a safeguard.
Yes.
And that's really one thing I learned a while back, and actually you taught me this. It's not so much what you stop doing. What are you doing instead? Right. So in that moment, that's you right. had to say, hey, look, I could be around this guy, but I can't be in this atmosphere.
That's right.
So you had to make an adjustment, and then you made that a guardrail that no matter what, I'm not going to put myself in this position again.
It's like they say it's a form of insanity to continue doing the same thing and expecting different results.
That's right.
It's not going to happen. You've got to make a choice. And so the things that you have power to change them. Do them. Choose who you're going to follow.
That's
choose
right.
who you're going to get close to. Choose who you're going to listen to. Those are your choices. And it's the greatest power God has given you. But ultimately, it will determine who you become.
That's right. That's right. And not only that, it also determines what will be said about you.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Because I remember a while back when we was talking about, you know, what do you want said at your funeral? And I remember what you said is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Exactly. I mean, that's the goal we should all aspire to have. Yeah. I mean, and that right there is the moment you've arrived.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? Until then, it's all practice.
If I hear Jesus say that, it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
That's right. Because that ultimately is what we're going for.
That's right.
You know, exactly but right. but while we're here on earth, our goal is actually to influence as much as we can by showing that we're influenced by something greater than us.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
And those are deliberate, intentional decisions that you must make. Don't allow your life and your circumstance to control you. Make those choices and then start following after that. And you'll start leaving a life of legacy.
That's right. And really, I mean, if you live a life worth imitating, mm-hmm. you are building a legacy.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? When you're worthy of being followed, and really when I started looking at getting a mentor, because, you know, of course, Rick, who was his spiritual mentor, and he was mine. But when Rick passed away, it left a big void in my life,
of course.
And I have Willie Trawick, which is an amazing man of God. And then I also have Pastor Vince Farrell, which is another amazing man of God. But I love it because Pastor Vince is still in that same stable that Rick Lindenen was in. You know what I'm saying? So I know that in your life right now, you are in a legacy mode. You're pouring out all you can for the guys that you've already had established.
Exactly right.
And you're leaving a footprint massive. And you're doing it through your writing. You're doing it through your travels. You're doing it through pouring into men individually and in churches. And I know that I can't go everywhere you go, but I could get what you just gave out to Pastor Vince.
That's right.
I could start pulling from the guy that's already been pulling from you. And I could and I could get that. And, you know, it's no different than the Bible. We're learning these recycled messages. So even though it's not firsthand, this secondhand, I know it's from a guy that's already living the way that you would ask him to live.
You're right.
And so I love that. And that's the thing. And so my goal now is to make sure I'm pouring all I can into another guy that will do the same.
That's right. And that's why I said you must always be aware, looking for these people. I look at the life of Paul, and the Apostle Paul was one of my heroes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He did it as well as anybody in ministry in the New Testament. But he had just gone through a great disappointment. John Mark had deserted them in their time of need, and he and Barnabas come back, and they get into a division over John Mark, because Barnabas saying, let's take him with us. And Paul said, no, he left us the first time. I don't want to take someone like that along and babysit with him. And so that it was such a division over him. They split ways, which is sad, but that's life. But look at what Paul does. In the 15th chapter of Acts, the end of it. The 16th chapter of Acts opens up with Paul starting out, and he meets a young man by the name of Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens many times when people are disappointed by someone that they're mentoring, is that they will just stop mentoring. That's a big mistake.
That's right.
He takes Timothy and starts training him to be his spiritual son. So never stop looking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, because, I mean, If Paul would have gave up, we wouldn't have had a Timothy.
That's true.
And we wouldn't have a Titus.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying? And you need both of them. And I like it because both those guys are absolutely opposites.
And even John Mark comes back at the end.
That's right. That's right. And that's the thing is, because when you're living a life worth imitating and people are following, you got to know they're going to have some hiccups too.
Sure.
But
sure,
because you have been given grace by the guy that's actually teaching you, you got to show grace to them.
I mean, that's true.
Everything's a learned process that we got to pass on.
You're right. You're exactly right.
And I believe that if we're truly sharing good news, if it's good news to us, we should share it.
Sure.
You know, I think there's two good ways to do this. One, we write down what we heard and then share it with somebody else immediately.
Yes.
So you don't forget it.
That's the best way to keep something is give it away.
That's right.
When you share it with someone else, it's kind of like it locks it into your system.
Absolutely. And I want to tell you, Mr. Dale, I appreciate you sharing your life with us.
Thank
it's just been amazing, the journey
it's
you
my
got.
Pleasure.
I love your book, Living the Dream. It's amazing to be able to see just a biography of that. And Foundation Truth has been just such a blessing to so many people. So I just really want to say I would definitely appreciate the legacy you're leaving behind is amazing.
Well, I'm greatly honored. I thank you for those kind words.
Yes, sir. I wouldn't want to do life without you, that's for sure. Let's go ahead and move on to our closing part of this segment. This will be surviving the 10 count. It'd be rapid fire questions that we use. And so whatever comes to your head is going to be your first answer. All right. So here we go. What's your most inspirational quote?
Most inspirational quote. Oh my, that is a big one because I have so many of them. I guess where the Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ.
Gotcha. That's a good one. That's a good one. What makes you the most calm?
The most calm? I love worship. And I love, and of course, I love the happy courses and joyous courses, but there's some of those hymns and some of those just very slow-paced songs that as we're worshiping at the throne of God, I experience such peace.
Gotcha. What's your favorite pizza topping?
I love cheese, of course, if I had to single to one, but I am a great lover of veggie peaches.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What is one way that you serve your spouse best?
I try to serve her in gifts and serving, just doing things for her because her love language is serving. And so I try to speak her love language.
Gotcha. There you go. That's a good one. With that, what's the one household chore that you hate the most?
Washing dishes.
Washing dishes. I don't blame it. What do you think is the worst habit a person could have?
I think one of the worst habits is developing a negative mindset. Because with that criticism comes all kinds of the way we look at life. So negativism is a disease.
Gotcha. What was that one moment in your life? This is going to be a tough one, but what's that one moment in your life that you realized that you were a man amongst men?
Oh, I don't know that I've ever be that. But there's just so many times when I have seen situations where somebody need to stand up, somebody need to speak up, somebody just needed to act like a man. And I would step into that role because nobody else was doing it.
Gotcha. And I've got to witness that. It is amazing. It is amazing. All right, here's the last one. I know you've traveled all over the world and several times, but what is the one place that you're dying to visit you've never been?
Oh, if I've always wanted to go to South Korea and see the Grateful Gospel Church because it was, you know, at one time the greatest church may still be in the world. But if I had a bucket list, that would be the top of it.
Gotcha. Well, Mr. Dale, it's been an absolute pleasure. I appreciate you joining us on this podcast. And we just pray that God continues to move through you and through the Living Faith Global Network. We thank you all so much.
So there you have it, men. Thank you for letting us be in your corner today. I pray you continue to stay connected to us each week as we cover a new subject with other godly men who want to see you succeed. Don't forget to check us out at mensfightclub.net and also on Facebook at Men's Fight Club. To make sure you don't miss out on any up-and-coming topics, like, and subscribe if you enjoyed what you heard. If you would like to join in supporting Men's Fight Club, click the link to donate. Remember, who you are and what you do are important to the kingdom. No one is meant to fight alone. Stay strong, stay connected, fight on.